Well, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, please. What a wonderful chapter in the Bible, of course. We're going to begin reading in verse 27, John, chapter 3. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." And this next verse needs to be adopted by every child of God. "He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." These are the words of John the Baptist, the great wilderness preacher who descended upon the sins of his day with a sword in one hand and a torch in the other. He nearly always spoke in judicial tones. His words rebuked the hypocrites and the formalists and the materialistic-minded men of his day. John Baptist baptized Christ in the rolling tides of the Jordan River. And when that happened, the heavens opened, and a voice from heaven, from God the Father, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." John the Baptist pointed out Christ as the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. And thank God, when he takes the sins away, he never brings them back. He said, "He that cometh from heaven is above all." Jesus is still heaven's light for earth's darkness, heaven's glory for earth's shame, heaven's grace for earth's guilt, heaven's salvation for earth's damnation. So I have some thoughts this evening. First of all, Jesus is above all in relation to this physical, material universe. A sound scientific and philosophic principle is the cause is more to be considered than the effect. This created universe, in all its mystery and beauty and complexity and diversity, is simply an effect. And ladies and gentlemen, the cause is more to be considered than the effect. When we see the Grand Canyon, when we see Crater Lake, when we see Hawaii and some of the other places in America, it ought to impress upon us more than anything that it is Christ that created all of this. It is but an autographed album of Jesus Christ, who taught the birds to sing. Tina sent me a picture of a Hawaiian cardinal. Pretty, pretty bird. Most cardinals here, of course, are little birds. The cardinals in the islands, they are big and they are absolutely beautiful. Who taught the birds to sing? Who planted the garden of the stars? Who dug deep the gorges and piled high the mountains? Who painted the sunset? Who sent out the first ray of light in a universe that was absolutely without any light at all? That first light? There's only one answer to all these questions. It was Jesus, the Son of Man without sin and the Son of God with power. Go back to John chapter 1. A couple of pages to the left. Let's read the first five verses from John to our heart. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And look at verse 16 and 17. For by Him, that is Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things, that word consist means by Him all things are held together by the power of Jesus Christ. Now go with me to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Let's read verses 3 and 4. David said, when I consider thy heavens, and you can just imagine him as a young man keeping the sheep and at nighttime as the stars would come out, he would lay on his back and he would look up and he would think about God the Father. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visiteth him? And then in verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. In Psalm 19 in verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. He is above all in this physical creation. Second of all, He's above all in His incarnation. Once again, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verses 18 and 19, speaking about Jesus Christ. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, not just be prominent. He is to have the preeminence in our life. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Now chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now look at verses 8 and 9. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, that is, in Jesus Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is above all in His incarnation. He was God's will and thought and purpose for all mankind. He was a human being without any sin. Go over with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He never had one bad thought in His entire life. He is above all in His incarnation. Third, Jesus is above all in power. Go with me to Job chapter 42. The last chapter in Job. I know Job's been through a lot when this is said. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech Thee, and I will speak. I will demand of Thee, and declare Thou unto me. I have heard of Thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth Thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. In Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus Christ is giving out the Great Commission to the church, He starts it off by saying this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It starts off, Jesus says, all power is given unto me. We have a little old sinful race of people today that can strut setting down. We boast of power and bombs and satellites and navies and aircraft, when what we should boast about is this. Look at Psalm 20. Psalm 20. We'll begin reading in verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. He will hear from Him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. He is above all in power. Right now, you understand that we are capable of global cremation. World War III is not a possibility. It is a certainty. That is going to happen. But Christ used His power when He was on this earth helping people and not hurting people. He's above all in power. He is above all as a teacher. What are some of the things that he taught? Well, go with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Let's read the first 5 verses here. He said this, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the little sliver out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." You understand that we cannot judge motives. What we can ascertain, if somebody is standing over in a corner and they have a can of beer and they're smoking a cigarette and they're cussing and doing all kinds of that, that's not judging them. You would say that guy is not living right. That's not a judgment. You are just looking at him and you are looking at his actions. Okay? And then in Matthew chapter 5, back up a page in your Bible. Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 29 and 30. "And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Ladies and gentlemen, a man's usefulness or uselessness depends on what he believes about hell and the stand he takes. When you consider how horrible hell is, and that it is forever, it ought to cause us to do certain things. It ought to cause us to go out and to knock on doors. It ought to cause us to live right and godly before our family. It ought to cause us to do some things. And then last of all, Jesus is above all in his atoning suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." I cannot tell you a greater truth than that. And that all has to do with the doctrine of imputation. Let me give you the 3 parts to the doctrine of imputation. First of all, Adam's sin was imputed to each one of us. We were born with a sinful nature. We were born in sin, David said. You don't have to teach your kids to lie. You don't have to teach your kids to be mean. They come by that naturally, simply because we have a sinful nature. Adam's sin was imputed to us. Second of all, my sin was imputed to Christ when he was on the cross. And last of all, Christ's righteousness was imputed to me. Let me just read this verse one more time. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the truth of your Son and what he has done for us. The fact that John Baptist looked at him and said, he is above all. And he truly is. And oh God, thank you for your dear Son. Thank you for the way you remind us of how glorious and how wonderful he is. And the wonderful things that you do for us. Oh, Father, thank you in Jesus' name.